Somebody say amen. Say amen. You ready to have church? I feel it in my hands. Feel it in my feet. Feel it in my heart. I feel it all over me. I heard a little chorus in South Carolina when I was preaching their camp. It just goes like this. I'm living on the side of victory. Anybody living on the side of victory? Anybody washed in the blood of Calvary? Would anybody like to raise their hands and tell the devil, the powers of hell cannot hinder me? I'm living on the victory side. Well, I'm living on the side of victory, washed in the blood of Calvary. The powers of hell cannot hinder me. I'm living on the victory side. I'm living on the side of victory, washed in the blood of Calvary. The powers of hell cannot hinder me. I'm living on the victory side. I'm living on the side of victory, washed in the blood of Calvary. The powers of hell cannot hinder me. I'm living the victory side. Oh, I'm living on the side of victory, washed in the blood of Calvary. The powers of hell cannot hinder me. I'm living on the victory. Would you help me sing it? I'm living on the side of victory, washed in the blood of Calvary. The powers of hell cannot hinder me. I'm living the victory side. The powers of hell cannot hinder me. I am living on the victory side. Tomorrow night I'm going to preach about it's time to go to the other side. But tonight I'm going to invite your attention to Psalms 57. The sound man will just give me a little bit more juice. I'd appreciate it. Wonderful. Feels good already. Psalms 57, verses 7 to 11. I want to say how much of a great time I'm having here in the Western District with your Conqueror's President, Brother Cantrell, and Brother Claiborne and their family. I'm just having a great time fellowshipping with them and preaching the word of the Lord and just having a great time with all of you. Amen. Some of you have gotten to know, talk to you a little, and there's a wonderful spirit in this district, and I'm just enjoying myself. Psalms chapter 57 tonight, verses 7 to 11. And when you find it, say amen. Amen. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory. Awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. And taking my text from verse 7, David said, my heart is fixed. But I like
what he does the next time around. He says, my heart is fixed. I believe the first time he was echoing those words to the Lord. But the second time, he was letting the devil know, my heart is fixed. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, my heart is fixed. Now point your hands to heaven and say, Lord, my heart is fixed. Now raise your other hand and say, devil, my heart is fixed. It's a little song that says, the devil don't like it, but my mind is stayed on Jesus. In other words, it's fixed. Can I tell you, I believe God's been doing open heart surgery here this week. And there are some people that's going to walk out of here in spite of their situation that they have to go back home to and say, my heart is fixed. And you may be seated. These words spoken by King David, my heart is fixed, O God. And again, he repeats it, my heart is fixed. It is first recorded in Psalms chapter 57 and verse 7. And then David also repeats the very same words again in Psalms 108 and verse 1. But before those words of confidence, everybody say confidence. Everybody say assurance. Everybody say stability. Before these words of confidence, assurance, and stability are echoed, we read the preceding verses that tells us about some situations that David had to encounter. But in spite of the situations that he had to go through, he eventually wind up saying, my heart is fixed. And can I tell you tonight, I'm sure that if we were to take a survey or a poll, or if we had enough time to go around to every one of you and to say how many of you are fighting battles and are going through situations that you really don't understand and you don't know what's going to become of it, I am sure all of us could raise our hands and say, Brother Mitchell, I've got some things I could talk about, but I'd rather talk about that my heart is fixed. I'd rather talk about that my mind is made up, that I'm going to serve Jesus in spite of what comes my way. So David starts off in verse 1 of chapter 57. And he says, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. How many know we need to learn to put our trust in Almighty God? How many of you have put your trust in Almighty God? He said, my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. In other words, he's saying, God, I'm facing some situations that are just upon me, and I'm not sure when they're going to pass. I'm not sure when I'm going to come out of these things. But he said, it doesn't matter when I come out of it. I just want to let you know that I trust you, and you are my refuge and my strength. Can I tell you, young person, it don't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what situation you might be encountering. Maybe your family is not the way you want it to be. Maybe not things are not the way they should be at home. But you need to say, God, in spite of my situation, you are my refuge. I don't need a psychiatrist. I don't need to read the astrology. I don't need to call the psychic network. I just need to say, God, you are my refuge and my fortress. We live in a troubled world where people are going through situations that for some of them it's getting the best of them. And when you read the newspaper, you will find that time and time again, people are taking their lives. They are doing things that are totally out of their character because they cannot cope with the problems of life. But I heard one songwriter said, "Where do I go when there's no one else to turn to? Who do I talk to when nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable?" He said, "I go to the rock." He said, "I go to the rock. I know." I said, "I know He's able. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected." I'm telling you, child of God, when you're going through struggles, you can depend on Jesus. You can trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And if you lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And so David said, "God, I'm going to trust in You, for You are my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." He said, "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." You know, sometimes, even in our preaching to our congregation, we tend to overlook the youth of our congregation. I've got some great young people, but every now and then they'll come to me and they'll say, "Pastor Mitchell, you preach to the church, but you always refer to those that are married or older, who are going through situations on the job, who are encountering struggles in trying to pay their rent or their bills, or their bills are overdue. You always seem to be ministering to them." And the one young person came to me and said, "Don't you know we've got problems that's bigger than our parents' car note?" And can I tell you, I'm beginning to realize that your problems are just as important as your parents' problems. And whereas you don't have to worry about a car note or a mortgage or a job tomorrow, you've got some pressures that you've got to deal with. You've got some devils that you've got to fight. But I've come to tell you tonight, the same God that your mother and father trust in is the same God that you can trust in. David said, "I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous," not just the grown-ups, but he said the righteous, "forsaken, or his seed out begging bread." If you will hold on and trust Jesus, He will not let you down. For He knows all about your struggles. He knows the things that you have to deal with. He knows the pressure that your generation faced that our generation did not have to face. And He will guide you if you will learn how to trust in Him. And so David said, "God, I cried unto Thee, Most High, because Thou performest all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah." I'm telling you, sometimes it seems as if our problems are so overwhelming that they're about to swallow us up. Anybody ever feel like that? It just gets so bad that you don't know if you're going to make it. You don't even know if there is a tomorrow, because you just seem to be swallowed up by the problem. David said, "God, I know that you're going to help me to overcome these things." In verse 4, he said, "My soul," if that was not enough talk about his problem seems to be swallowing him up. He said, my soul is amongst lions. And I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. He said, God, I've got problems. He said, where I am, it's as if I am in a den of lions. Every direction I turn, it seems as if something wants to have me for lunch. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You go to school, you've got to face problems. You come home, you've got some problems to deal with. You go wherever, you go to the ball field or you go to play with somebody, and it seems as if you've got to try and help them to overcome some situation. It doesn't matter where you turn, it seems as if you dwell among lions. And more than just that, you try to live for God. You try to live holy. You try to be a true child of God. But the more you try to live for Him, you've got somebody talking about you, saying you look too holy, you look too righteous, you act like you're better than us. Can I tell you, I know as a young person, that gets to you over sometimes. I know that every now and then when they ridicule you and they talk about you and they talk about your standards and they talk about your church, that does bother you. But can I tell you, it don't matter what the world has to say. They're always going to have something to say about us. Hello? But can I tell you this? The ones that ridicule you and talk about you and talk behind your back about you are the same ones in the middle of their problems that's going to find you. When they need somebody to pray for them, they'll call you. When they need somebody to encourage them and to help them to get over an alcoholic parent or a brother or a sister that's hooked on drugs or somebody that's in the hospital about to die. Hey, my friend, even though they ridicule you, they talk about you and they mock you, they know that you serve the one true and living God. And they know if anybody can get a prayer through, it's that one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy-rolling, born-again, heaven-bound, believing young person. And if you ever fail to be what the world expects you to be, who will they have to call on when they get in trouble? I'm so glad that we don't give in to the pressures of the world and the things they say about us. So he said, God, my soul is amongst lions. I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongues sharp as sword. But he said in the middle of that, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. You say, Brother Mitchell, why in the middle of all of David's complaining does he throw in there verse 5 and say, be thou exalted? Because David was trying to let us know, in spite of what we're going through and what the world says about us, somewhere in there we've got to be able to exalt God. I'm telling you, in spite of what they're saying about you, when you sit in the classroom, you ought to be able to say, he's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. In spite of what they're saying about you, you ought to be able to give God's praise. You ought to be able to lift Him up. You ought to be able to exalt Him. You shouldn't wait on the organ. You shouldn't wait on the drum. You don't need a cheerleader in church or at the camp to worship God. Right there in the middle of your enemy, you ought to be able to raise your hands. And if you don't know what to say, say, Jesus! Don't ever be ashamed of who you are. Because he said, if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. But I'm telling you, I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm proud of who I am. While the world is struggling for an identity, we know we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Touch your neighbor and say, I am somebody. And you ought to be proud of who you are. And you ought to talk about who you are. And you ought not to let anybody put down yourself, put down your church, put down your parents, put down your pastor, put down your youth group. Every time the devil sticks his ugly head up and says something about a child of God, you tell them, that's right, we're guilty, but we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And we're proud to be Christians. David said, in the midst of all of that, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. But I want you to notice what happens after that brief moment of exaltation. He falls right back into saying what's going on in his life. He says, God, even though I just praised you, I got to continue to tell you what's going on. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me in the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. He said, God, don't you understand? They have prepared pits for me. And can I tell you, if you don't know it already as a young person, the enemy's job is to let you fall on your face and be embarrassed. He will set traps for you. He will entice you on a date, knowing good and well that you don't go out with unbelievers. Oh, you don't want me to preach here. They'll call you and invite you to places that you know you shouldn't go to. But can I tell you, don't be ignorant of the devices of the devil. Some of the worst enemies come looking, dressing, and smelling good. But you ought to be able to identify the devil. Can I tell you, one of the biggest tricks the enemy uses, especially on young people, is when you step into the classroom and you profess who you are, somebody else stands up and say, I am a Christian too. And then, in saying they are a Christian too, it now opens the floor for a debate as to who's right and who's wrong. And so here is the apostolic child of God, and here is the so-called Christian. And the so-called Christian says, oh, we have church just like you Pentecostals. We've got organ music. We've got drums. We speak in tongues. We dance. We glorify God. Our preacher really preaches, but we don't have to do all that you do. We don't have to try and look holier than thou. You all are taking it too far. But can I tell you, Christians too don't go to heaven. It's not because you're religious that's going to qualify you for heaven. You've got to be born again. Then you've got to leave the principles of the doctrine and go on to perfection. And so they'll tell you, we shout, we dance, we have a great time in church. But we can go here, we can go there, we can wear this, we can wear that, we can date whoever we want. Well, we need to stand up and tell them, you can date the devil if you want. You can look like the devil if you want. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, come on, somebody. Say yes. And don't let the devil back you in a corner and intimidate you about we are Christians too. Oh, I feel like preaching here tonight. I feel a lot of things, but I feel like preaching. And you see, that's the trap that's being set for us. David said, Lord, they have prepared a net for my steps. Everybody say, my steps. Hey, you better watch where you go. Watch where you're stepping. And watch who you're stepping with. Hello? Because the enemy is subtle. And he knows just who to let step with you. And in walking with you, they'll entice you and lure you into a net that because they wear the label of Christian too, you let down your guard. You don't try the Spirit. Hello, somebody. You've got to be careful of those people that say, I'm a Christian too. If they don't have it according to the Bible, if they're not living according to the Bible, then hey, come on, somebody, separate yourself from those kind of people because somebody is going to influence somebody. You've got to know in whom you have believed. You've got to be persuaded, even if you're standing alone, that you are right in where you're standing. So David said, Lord, don't you understand? They prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. Sometimes I get depressed. And oh, I know how that feeling of depression is. For all of us at times don't live on the mountaintop, you know. Hello? We're not always shouting 24 hours a day. When the enemy begins to talk about us and ridicule us and mock us, yes, it does affect us. And sometimes one youth service doesn't fix it. Hello? But he said, God, they prepared steps for me. My soul is bowed down. And he says, on top of all of that, they have digged the pit before me. He said, God, with all of the traps that they have set, and I want you to watch this. He said, with all of the lions that are trying to consume me, and the nets that they have set for me, and all of the pits that they have digged trying to get me to fall into. He said, God, even though I'm bowed down, even though I'm confused, even though I get hurt, when I stop and survey who drops in the pit, who drops in the net, who is being caught, who's really a phony, I said, oh God, the net that they have set for me have consumed them. Can I tell you this, young person? Sometimes when they back you against the wall, trying to humiliate you, if you'll just stand still and see your God at work, before it's all over with, the net that they have set for you, they'll be the one dangling in it. They'll be the one that's embarrassed. They'll be the ones that's ashamed. And when David saw that, and he saw that as much as the enemy tried to bring him down and all of the traps that the enemy had set for him to try and to cause him to lose his way, David said, "Oh God, I've only got one thing to say to you." Because he said, "God, I've found out the more they talk about me, the more they ridicule me, the more they mock me, the more they try to embarrass me, is the more you stand for me and defend me and fight for me." I'm telling you, if you hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle, you'll be living on the side of victory. You know what? Sometimes I think we complain too much about what the devil is doing. We are the devil's greatest advertisement. Hello? For when something goes wrong, we are quick to broadcast it. When something is happening in our lives, we are quick to get on the phone and talk to somebody else about it. But when we have a hallelujah, glorious time, I don't hear us talking too much about it. I don't hear us spending more time on the phone talking about the victorious services that we're having. I'm telling you, if we learn to talk less about what the devil is doing and talk more about what God is doing. So David said, "You know what, God? I'm going to quit complaining. I'm going to quit whining. I'm going to quit talking about the pit. I'm going to quit talking about the lions that are after me, the nets that are being set, how I feel so swallowed up by my problems." He said, "God, you know, I've got one thing I want to say to you." And God says, "What's that, David?" "My heart just about that time." God probably reached over to a bunch of angels and said, "Listen up. I think he's going to change gears. I think he's going to start singing a new song. Instead of whining and complaining, I think he's getting ready to say something that's of confidence." And the angel said, "God, what's he getting ready to say?" And David said, "My heart is fixed, oh God." Can I tell you that when you get up in the morning and you know what you have to face in that day, and you can still raise your hands and say, "God, in spite of what I've got to face, my heart is fixed." I tell you what, you'll wake up the angels. He said, "My heart is fixed, oh God." And then he said it one more time. He said, "My heart is fixed." And I believe the second time he said it, he was saying, if there's anybody else out there that's listening, I want to let you know too, that from this moment on, I'm going to quit complaining. I'm going to quit whining. I'm going to quit telling God about my problems. He already knows what I'm going through. But what I'm about to say is that in spite of my problems, my heart is fixed. Somebody needs to walk out of this camp get in their car, drive up in their driveway, go back to their school, their youth group, and when somebody said, how's that problem going? What's been happening at home? Has your mother sobered up yet? Has your father come back home? Has things worked itself out? You just rise up and say, listen, I'm not too worried about those things. What I'm more concerned about is the condition of my heart towards my God. And as for me, I'm going to tell you right now, my heart is fixed. Problems or no problems, my heart is fixed. Oh, somebody, somewhere needs to rise up and tell the devil, my heart's sick. Touch a neighbor and say, my heart's sick. But hang on a second. I want you to notice what happened. Once he said, my heart is fixed, he said, I. He said, I will sing. I'm not going to wait on the choir to sing anymore. I'm not going to wait on the song leader to sing anymore. When I was in the valley, worried about my problems, worried about the situations that I can't solve, I used to wait on the pastor to sing, or somebody else will sing. But he said, since my heart is fixed, since my heart is fixed, I will sing. Everybody say, I. Hey, listen to me. It don't matter if you sing off key. It don't matter if you sing on C, D, E, F, G, D minor. It don't matter if you sound so flat. It don't matter if you're sharp. It don't matter if you sing so bad and everybody else closes their ears. Can I tell you who's listening? God's listening. The angels are listening. The demons in hell are listening. And you need to say, I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing a new song. I'm going to sing. My heart is fixed. Touch your neighbor as a neighbor. It's time to sing a new song. Stop singing about that you're coming up the rough side of the mountain, or that you're burdened down, or that nobody knows the troubles you see, and start singing, greater is he that is within me. Start singing, I know he's a way maker. It's time to sing a new song. But I want you to notice this. In singing a new song, he said, hang on a little. He said, I can't sing with my glory still depressed, because singing and not having your spirit involved in the song is just a sounding breath or a tingling cymbal. But he said, if I'm going to sing, I'm going to wake up my glory. That means I'm going to get my glory involved in my singing. Don't sing just to sing. Sing and let the devil know I'm living on the victory side. So David said, wait a minute. I got a song to sing. But he said, glory, You gotta wake up. You gotta wake up. Too many people sing just to be heard. Sing to entertain. But David said, I'm singing and I'm making a statement. I'm making a statement that my heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I won't turn back. And he said, glory, you gotta wake up and help me sing this song. People want to sing and move the audience, and they never move. But honey, before anybody else move, you got to move. Your soul has got to get involved with your song. Ah! So you said, wake up, glory. And then he said, you know what? I've got a harp. I've got a harp that every time I complain about my problems, the harp is not being fully utilized. But he said, since my heart is fixed and my mind is made up and I've awake my glory, I might as well pick up my harp. Somebody needs to pick up your harp. Come on, come on, come on. Your harp doesn't have to be a musical instrument, but you need to get back to where you used to be. You need to shout like you used to shout. You need to dance like you used to dance. You need to be as committed as you were committed back then. Whatever your harp is, you need to pick it up. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. So he said, I'm going to wake up my glory. I'm going to pick up the psaltery and the harp. And then guess what? Everybody say I, myself, will arise early. Everybody say early. You ever know why it takes the middle or almost the end of a service for us to feel like church just started? Because we don't wake up our glory until late. But David said, at the crack of dawn, soon as I get into his presence, not the alarm clock, not the preacher, not the song leader, not the organ player, but he said, I'm going to wake up myself and I'm going to get with the program. Listen to me. If you walk into church and nobody is getting with the program, don't you park your carcass on that seat and don't praise God. If your heart is fixed, you might as well let everybody know. Let God know and let the devil know. And if somebody walks over to you and say, you're acting a little strange today, you're acting a little peculiar today, you seem to be beside yourself, you're not as put together, you don't worry about what anybody thinks anymore, you need to look at them and say, you don't know like I know. You don't 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 know like I know what he's done for me. I've got to wake up my glory. I got to wake up my glory. He picked me up. He turned me around. He blessed my family. He blessed me in school. I've got good grades. I've got to praise him. Ooh, yeah. When I think of his goodness, think of his goodness. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, put one good thing that the Lord has done for you on your mind right now. You know what? All the folks in the back, put one thing that the Lord has done for you on your mind right now. And if that don't tickle you, if that don't wake up your glory, if that don't let you want to praise God, if that don't let you wake up your glory and get beside yourself, then you really don't appreciate what God's done for you. But the psalm says, when I think of his goodness and what he's done for me, when I think of his goodness, I tell you, I want to shout, 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 all night, all night.
The Lord. You don't know that I know what is up for me. You don't know that I know what is up for me. Lord do it for you tonight. Tonight's your night. Don't wait till tomorrow. Let the Lord do for you today. Let Him fill you today. Let this be a moment in the history of your spiritual walk with God. From this moment forward, God, I'll never be the same. But my heart is fixed. God, do something to me on the inside. Oh, Jesus, fill me, Lord. The pour is running over. Hallelujah. Come on. Tonight's your night. Don't let another night go by. In Jesus' name, the victory is yours. The victory is yours. Get what you need from Jesus tonight. Satan, you're a liar. We rebuke you. You're the father of all lies. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God, for every young person that's in this building tonight, I pray, Lord Jesus, let the Shekinah glory of heaven reign in this place, Lord. Break chains of darkness. God, break walls of barrier, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, you don't know like I know what it's done for me. You don't know like I know.